Hello, I'm a Mac.
Mac has issued a salutation, cancel or allow.
Allow, and I'm a PC.
You're returning Mac salutation, cancel or allow?
Allow.
Okay, what gives?
Mac is asking a question, cancel or allow?
Allow. He's part of Vista, my new operating system. PCs have a lot of security problems, so he asked me to authorize pretty much anything I do.
You're pointing out Vista's flaws, cancel or allow?
Allow. I could turn him off, but then he wouldn't give me any warnings at all, and that would defeat the purpose, so.
You are coming to a sad realization, cancel or allow?
Allow.
Hello, and welcome to Localcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Elijah. Join me today. His temperature is 110, and his spirit will likely depart before the show ends. Leander Caney is here.
Excuse me. Yeah, I know. I crawled out of my sick bed just to be on this show.
Also with us, he's the managing editor of Cult of Mac, and this weekend he'll be giving the eulogy at Leander Caney's funeral. Lewis Wallace is here.
Got some real nice words lined up, as well as a couple of really hot gifts.
Well, we know how much Leander loves gifts. His family's going to be very touched.
I think it might even bring him back from the dead. He'll be so pleased with the array of gifts I've got planned.
Maybe I could have one of those Russian gravestones, you know, like with the TV built in, embedded in it, and they could just play those gifts for all eternity.
That's a great idea, actually. Well, Leander has typhoid fever, so we're hoping that he doesn't die during the episode, but I was telling him, just think of the ratings. That'd be incredible. You've been sick for what, like a week and a half now, Leander?
Yes.
So you're going to try your best to not cough and hack yourself to... unconscious status during the show.
Every time you mention the word, it happens. Christ,
I know. I gotta stop bringing it up.
I know. Just don't say it.
Yeah, and I really, you know, if you need to go at any moment, just let us know. You don't need to be here for this. For the record, I did tell Leander he doesn't need to be here for this, but he's like, I'm at work. I might as well just be on the show. The listeners want to hear from me.
I know. I've got to make sure everyone knows I'm still alive. Jeez.
This is going to work out great.
Okay. Yeah, let me have another Ricola.
Have another few sips of the Stella Artois and shake it around your mouth and then swallow it. You'll be good to go. Okay. We got tons of great stuff to talk about this week. Well, a few fun things to talk about. What a slow news week it is. But surprisingly, we have a full show of stuff to talk about. We are going to cover the beta updates with Leander Caney. That's assuming that he's able to speak. So go ahead and suckle on that Ricola as much as you can before it's your turn to talk, Leander. Our listeners do love hearing people making eating sounds on the show. They let me know that on
Everyone
Twitter.
Loves it.
And we're going to be talking about the rumors for iPhone in 2020. There are some significant changes coming our way to the iPhone XR and the XS, and the Max is going even more Max, and you'll definitely want to stick around and hear just how big. And let's see here, we're going to be talking about some of tvOS's upcoming features, which are pretty cool, and here's a weird one, we just added this in, why are we even talking about this, I don't know, but maybe it'll be fun. Apparently, using your iPhone too much can make you grow a horn out of the back of your head. That is the title of the story, and no, this is not a joke. This is dead serious. Doctors are concerned that people are growing horns from using their iPhones too much, and there's even an X-ray to prove it. So we will wrap up the show with that. Before we dive into the first story here, let me give a very big, hearty thank you to LinkedIn for supporting this episode. Hiring isn't as simple as putting an ad in the paper or posting to a job board. When you're juggling hiring and everything else to grow your business, it's important that you reach the right candidates at the right time. More than 650 million members visit LinkedIn every day to make connections, learn, and grow as professionals, and discover new job opportunities. In fact, LinkedIn members add 15 new skills to their profiles and apply to 35 job posts every 2 seconds. That's how LinkedIn makes sure your job post gets in front of people with the right hard skills and soft skills to meet your requirements, things like collaboration, work ethic, adaptability. LinkedIn does the legwork to match you to the most qualified candidates so you can focus on hiring the right person who will transform your business. So to get $50 off your first job post, go to linkedin.com/cultcast. That's linkedin.com/cultcast to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn.com/cultcast. Leander, you got the betas installed and everything, right?
Yeah, everything.
Oh, boy, I'm really looking forward to hearing you talk for the next 5 minutes. Why don't you sum up how things are going with the betas? Is everything working? I mean, you're here. That's a great sign.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much working. It's not. It's been a bit glitchy, but not, you know, catastrophic.
Uh-huh.
I got it running on my main phone, of course. Couldn't resist. I was like, this is stupid. But then immediately I installed it because it was just too tempting. Mm-hmm. And I have it on my MacBook, not on my main iMac, but my MacBook and on my watch. But they said, it seems, you know, it's and my iPad at home.
You did the whole shebang, huh?
Yeah, the whole lot, all the gadgets. And on the whole, you know, like some people have said it's unusable, but I found it pretty much usable. There's a few glitches on it, like HTML on the iPad doesn't render really very well.
Uh-huh.
And some of the apps are a bit crashy.
a bit crashy.
But a lot of the apps work really quite well. And of course, all the Apple apps work okay. Mm-hmm. You know, Twitter, Facebook, Safari is working fine. I like the new Safari. There's a whole bunch of really cool stuff in that, especially the fact that it's like a desktop, you know, browser now.
You mean Safari on iPad?
Yeah. Yeah, that works really well. And I like the new home screen.
Mm-hmm.
I like all the little touches, you know, like the volume controls. They're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It now shows up right next to the volume buttons, you know, so it's pretty easy to see what effects it's having. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and generally, overall, it seems to be pretty good.
What about macOS? Did you install that beta as well?
I did, but, you know, like I said, I don't use, you know, like I said on previous shows, the laptop's kind of like a spare computer, you know, so. But it seems to be okay, you know. I had to install it. The reason I did it is because I wanted to run the beta. Actually, I only really wanted to run the beta on my iPad. And to run that first beta, you actually had to have Catalina running on some machine, you know, to install it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I'll just install Catalina on my MacBook just so that I can install the beta on my iPad. And then once I installed it on the iPad, I used it for a couple of days. I was like, huh, this seems pretty good. Let's put it on my iPhone too. yeah, so it went from there.
Are you broadcasting from Catalina right now?
No, I didn't. Excuse me. I didn't put it on my regular iMac.
Okay, I was going to say, because things are actually working pretty well. That's shocking.
Yeah.
Because every year, inevitably, you install the betas, and then we spend 45 minutes before the show trying to figure out why you can't connect.
Why it won't work.
And then we realize eventually, oh, Leander installed the beta.
I found in the past that they kind of got more unstable before they got more stable.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the first couple of builds were okay, and then later builds became really crashy and really buggy.
Huh.
And then they cleared up. I mean, that was... But, you know, I'm not going to install the beta on my main machine. I mean, I've learned that mistake.
Right.
After making it like 3, 4, 5 times in a row.
4 or 5 years in a row, you mean?
I finally decided, yeah, enough's enough.
Yeah, you can't on your Mac. If your Mac, if you're actually trying to get any work done, it's impossible. It's a really bad idea. But, you know, for your iPhone, you can have it crash every once in a while. And the worst case scenario is what you accidentally hang up on somebody. But it does break a lot of stuff. Your apps, at least my apps, often get so broken that I just decided I'm going to wait a little while and let the more risk-hardy people go ahead and figure out all the issues and let Apple fix those before I go ahead and install it.
They put an explicit warning, you know, saying that you only put this on devices that are devoted to testing. And if you want to live on the edge, you know, wait till the public beta comes, and they're promising it for next month, July sometime. Do you guys know if there's a date yet?
I don't know if there's a date, but I think it's coming in the next week or two.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to install that once it comes out on my iPhone.
Yeah, you and everyone else. I mean, I know people seem to be absolutely, you know, jazzed about it and really excited to see it.
Are there any other features that you want to highlight before we move on?
I was just trying to think.
Anything that you noticed that you thought, wow, this is actually pretty cool?
I should have made a list of all the stuff that I liked. You know, it's like a lot of the smaller tweaks. You know what I've been doing? One thing I couldn't figure out is that almost every single app now puts up a notification. It says, you know, this has been using your location in the background, and also for Bluetooth as well. You know, like this app has been using Bluetooth. And I got one this morning for Amazon, you know. Amazon has been using Bluetooth, and I'm like, Bluetooth for Amazon?
Huh.
What the heck is going on? And in fact, it's opened my eyes to a lot of that kind of stuff. But I find it a little bit confusing, especially with the location ones, because it says, you know, allow when you're using the app, always allow or never allow.
Uh-huh.
And some of them are, it's a little bit not clear what choice you should make, especially the stuff that uses location, you know, like Strava or Ride with GPS, which are two cycling apps that I use. You know, I think I want to say that you want to use it all the time, which is what I said. I think that's the right choice, not just when you're using the app.
Yeah.
But if anyone knows any better, yeah, please let me know. I asked Charlie to look into it, because every time one of these things pops up, I'm like, you know, I have to sit there and think really carefully about what choice I'm going to make. Because literally every single app you know, that I've been using, there's been some kind of, almost every single app, there's been some kind of notification about Bluetooth or location or...
Now that is interesting. We were actually just talking about this last show about how it's supposed to surface and make it more obvious when apps are tracking your location. And you want a certain degree of that because you want to know what's going on, but you also don't want it to be like Windows Vista where it pops up that warning every time you try to do anything. In fact, Apple made a commercial just about that.
Yeah.
It's like Windows Vista is trying to access the internet, confirm or deny.
Right.
PCs constantly have to like confirm things during the conversation with Mac. You don't want it to be that level of annoying.
No, definitely not.
You don't want it to constantly be bugging you, but you also want to know if something is accessing your location and maybe doesn't need to be accessing it.
Right.
So it sounds like it's happening a little too frequently right now. Is that right?
Well, yeah, but I think, like I said, it's just because, you know, it's a new OS, and every time I open up an app, it asks me, you know, what settings I want, which I appreciate. That's actually really pretty good, feature for this. I don't think it pops up every time you use it. It's just the first time.
Huh. I feel like Leander is just talking with his diaphragm. totally flexed so he can control it, because he's just about to burst out into a fit of coughing.
Oh my god, you triggered him again.
Lewis, I keep getting weird delays on your side too. Do you have anything? I see you're fine now, but do you have anything going like in the background, like backups or anything?
Nothing different. But like I said, every bit of tech I have has just been acting weird for the last week or so. I don't know what it is.
Just been wigging out? Maybe you have high levels of electrostatic magnetism happening in your location.
Yeah,
maybe they're installing 5G.
I was going to say, maybe they rolled that out.
Well, if your skin starts burning, you'll know it's being installed.
You mean more than usual?
Well, I mean more than just in your genitalia area. That's something different, I think.
Yeah. That's more of a sting.
Okay, let's talk about iPhone 2020. I can't believe we're talking about iPhone 2020 already because,
we've already skipped a year.
It's pretty far ahead. You know what's funny is E3 just happened, the big video game convention, and they did the exact same thing. They were all talking about games and hardware that was coming out in 2020. And I'm sitting there on my calculator thinking, are they talking about holiday 2019 leading into 2020? Or are they actually talking about 2020, which I think they were actually talking about 2020? All these different game designers and publishers are looking way far out. And now here we are talking about iPhone 2020. But here we go. This is going to be some exciting stuff. So we thought we would at least talk about it because it comes from Ming-Chi Kuo, who often gets stuff right. So the rumor goes like this. Ming-Chi Kuo sent a note to investors claiming that Apple will put out three different iPhone models in 2020. The 2020 iPhone XR equivalent will be upgraded to a 6.1-inch OLED display, so same size screen, but OLED, but will not get 5G. That's probably going to be the one I go with, and I'll tell you why in just a sec. The 2020 iPhone XS Max successor will be upgraded from its 6.5-inch display to a larger 6.7 megamax. In fact, I think they need to change the name to that.
Yeah, that 2 millimeters is really going to make a massive difference.
I think it's going to make a pretty obvious visual difference, actually, especially when it's in your
tight jean pockets. It's barely perceptible.
But when you're holding it, a millimeter or two, that's going to be significantly larger.
I don't know.
6.7-inch megamax, y'all. And then the 2020. Here's an interesting development. The 2020 iPhone XS successor will have a smaller screen, 5.45-inch screen instead of the 5.8-inch currently in use. So, curious. I wonder if Apple's doing this because people who love big screens want to have an even larger screen, but people who don't like big screens want to have a smaller screen, and the iPhone X is clearly just too large for people who want to have a smaller phone. There's a lot of people out there who want to have a smaller phone. So it makes sense that maybe Apple would say, okay, let's make the big phone even bigger for people that want it. And then everybody else can have a smaller size screen. Oh, I forgot to mention the iPhone XS, XS Max successors will both have 5G. And then the XR, as I mentioned, the successor to the XR will not have 5G, which I'm happy about because you guys put on your tinfoil here.
Oh, geez.
I'm nervous about 5G.
I know. I was going to say, have you been watching InfoWars?
I'm nervous about 5G. You know what? I'm not alone. Alex Jones is nervous about 5G. He said it's going to make the frogs gay. It's going to make the frogs buy. It's going to make the frogs try. You know who else is nervous about 5G? Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan was saying that he's nervous about 5G. And let me tell you why. Now, look, I can already see people out there rolling their eyes. They're like, you got to be kidding me. You're nervous about 5G. I think there are some legitimate reasons to be concerned. Here's why. Let me just start with an example. Lewis,
yes.
Would you live within 100 feet of a cell phone tower? If you were
probably
buying
do.
A house, and you think so? Like one of those like 400-foot cell phone towers, would you live next to one voluntarily?
There's probably one right around here.
Well, you would know if there was. They're like a half mile tall. but hypothetically, if I were going to sell you a house next to a cell phone tower, one that was not next to a cell phone tower, which one would you choose? The obvious answer.
Well, would I be able to check my email?
Yeah, it would come in faster, too, if you're next to the cell phone tower.
I'm looking right now at Bernal Hill, and yeah. I can see a giant tower. It looks like a freaking battleship top.
But how far away is it?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably a quarter mile, maybe.
Yeah, okay. So, but would you live fine. Next door to it?
Well, I don't know.
The obvious answer is no. Who wants to live next to
it? Somebody's going to have to.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to, but those houses generally cost a lot less because people know that there's something weird going on in that tower. Do you want to live next to a giant radiating tower? Like, literally nobody does.
Yeah, but these radio waves pass right through the human body, so.
Yeah, and they create cancer on the way. But oh, so no. Let me tell you why 5G makes me nervous. So 5G is going to be using much shorter wavelengths. It's they commonly refer to it as MMW, multi-millimeter waves. And these shorter wavelengths, they're higher frequency, and they aren't as powerful at long range. So their frequency dissipates, or their signal dissipates over range, and they don't go through materials as well. So in order to compensate for this, and I just learned this researching this, these cell phone towers are going to be miniaturized, and they're going to be placed in smaller formats all over the place. So on light posts, all throughout your neighborhood. I've read that they're going to have them every 100 to 200 feet now. So instead of having one large radiating source up on a hill that covers a large area, now you're going to have lots of smaller mini towers everywhere. So you can't escape it. The radiation is going to be all over the place. And you may think, okay, well, who cares, right? Radiation doesn't harm us, does it? I don't know. I don't know. Look, think about it this way. The same MMW technology, multi-millimeter wave technology, is the same frequency used in the Defense Department's active denial system weaponry. These are basically radar dishes that they point at large crowds and they turn on the MMW, and it makes people's skin feel like it's burning off. It's a weapon that they use to control crowds. So in large enough doses, this definitely does something to your body. That's for sure. The Defense Department knows that. I want to read you this study as well. In Germany, researchers studied 1,000 residents who lived in close proximity to two cell phone towers for about 10 years. According to the study, during the last 5 years of the observations, researchers discovered neighbors living within 400 meters, 1,200 feet, of the cell phone towers were diagnosed with cancer at a rate that was 3 times higher than those who lived much farther away. Which, is anyone surprised to hear that living close to a cell phone tower causes cancer in people?
It's the same fears I had about microwaves, you know, like, you know, roasting your gonads.
Well, it clearly didn't work for you, yeah.
was this, you know, when you say German researchers, is this infoworlds.de?
I think it was a very reputable medical research company.
There's been loads of studies, though, haven't there, about, you know, like cell phones and radiation and...
It just keeps coming up over and over. But this is different.
This technology, this MMW technology is not like cell phone radiation of our current generation phones and even previous generation phones. This is ultra-high frequency radiation, and it's going to be distributed in such a way that everyone is going to be inundated with a lot more of it because it's going to be everywhere. Whereas in our current situation, Lewis can look up high on the hill and he's like, there's a cell phone tower a quarter mile away. But now you have these little towers everywhere all over the place. You're inundated with radiation and they're not totally sure. There hasn't been enough study. There hasn't been enough research. And some researchers are imploring these companies that are building these towers to research this more before they start inundating people and plant life and animals with this new type of radiation because they're not totally sure how it's going to impact people. Hmm. I just told you that this same technology is used in crowd control weaponry that didn't even faze you. You don't even care.
Well, it can't be. They're not putting weapons on telephone poles, right? I mean, there's going to be a big difference. Like, I'm sure it's like to do with like the level of intensity or the amount of power. Excuse me.
Maybe they'll be able to just flip them on at night, though, and clear the streets.
Right, there you go. Curfew, yeah.
that's a good point, actually. And if we're ever attacked, they can use this as some type of like defense mechanism. Huh. All I'm saying is it makes me a little nervous. Does it not bother you guys at all? You guys probably haven't even thought about it.
AirPods? Do you have Wi-Fi in your house? I mean, I do. Who knows?
Well, AirPods are Bluetooth. Those are low signal radio devices.
Yeah, well,
no, it's different technology.
20 years from now, maybe they'll be going like, oh my God, can you believe people used to do this? I don't know. I mean, I think at some point you just have to say, well, they test this stuff and they think it's safe.
Well, that's the problem is, from what I can tell, they're not really testing it. They're just going to go ahead and deploy.
They have to be testing it. They can't just...
You think so? Yeah, that's why.
They used to have advertisements
telling pregnant mothers that smoking was healthy for them.
They used to have cigarette filters made out of asbestos.
I know. That's my point is when companies are trying to sell a product, they're not exactly forthright in their research to prove that the product doesn't work or that it's going to harm you in some significant way. So it wouldn't be shocking to anyone to learn in 20 years, oh, they actually tried to suppress research that showed that this technology harmed people and, you know, gave babies three eyes, which actually might be a benefit in some cases because think how well they could see. So it depends on how you look at it. I'm not trying to be a Luddite, but it does make me a little bit nervous. And, you know, then I hear other researchers talking about how we don't know what's going to happen and it's not well researched yet. And there's studies linking certain kinds of radio frequency cell phone radiation to cancer. And I got in deep to the internet. I probably got myself spooked.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can find something on the internet that'll tell you anything. I mean, bananas, deadly.
Well, we've known that for ages, Lewis. You're still eating bananas? Yeah, stop eating bananas ages ago. Anyway, all I'm saying is I don't know if I want these little towers inside my house. I might go for the 10R.
This is the first that I had heard. Well, first off, the 10R doesn't make a damn bit of difference. It doesn't matter what phone you buy. It's still going to be in the air, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't that make any difference at all?
Technically speaking, it's going to be everywhere, no matter. Yeah, well, you'll have another broadcast source inside your home with the phone. But yeah, according to the tower placement, these little towers are going to be everywhere. So you can't, unless you want to move into the woods, into the wilderness, yeah, you're not going to be able to avoid this type of radiation. But it does make me a little nervous. I'm just saying. I might go for the 10R successor, and then you guys can test that.
Why? What difference would that make to help with your nervousness and your concern?
Well, because you won't have a broadcast source inside your house. You won't have the phone broadcasting with the same technology. You'll be using 4G technology instead. So you'll still have the radiation outside your house, but as I mentioned earlier, this technology doesn't work well over long range and also is not good at passing through walls and different materials. So you'll be less affected by it if you don't have the phone inside your house. That's my logic.
That doesn't even sound, I don't know, it sounds specious. I wish I was a scientist.
I do too, because then you could tell me if my fears are justified or not.
It's not like the modem just picks up the stuff in the air, right? It doesn't.
You mean the modem inside your house?
The phone
is like, you know, the thing, it's going to be broadcasting back.
Yeah, your phone
is
broadcasting too. Yeah,
it's
going
to be
exactly.
Broadcasting back to your base station. Or
yeah,
to your
it's basically an antenna. It's basically like having a modem or a cell phone tower inside your house. It's creating radiation.
Huh.
I already turned my, you guys are going to laugh at this. I put my phone on airplane mode at night because I charge it next to my bed. I turn off Wi-Fi and I turn off LTE and I don't have any signal going through the nights.
Well, what about all that crinkling from your tinfoil hat, though? Doesn't that wake you up?
No, in fact, you get used to it pretty fast. Now I find it comforting.
You probably have a whole tinfoil, you know, suit, right?
I have a tinfoil, yeah, exactly. Sleep gown.
And bed sheets.
Well, my bed sheets are filled with lead, so I don't have to worry about that. I also sleep in the bunker, so, you know, I'm 100 feet underground. I know it sounds crazy, but this kind of stuff always sounds crazy until we realize, hey, actually, this was a real problem. If I would have been making these same arguments about cigarettes in the 50s, people would laugh at you. They'd say you're crazy.
Yeah, right. They're good for
you. You know, so that's all I'm saying is stuff sounds crazy until we realize that it's actually truthful. And then you and then once it becomes truthful, everyone's like, well, of course, everybody knows that.
They've had decades and decades, right, you know, to look for. Cell phones have been around for like a couple of decades now, right? And there hasn't been any incidences of like brain cancer or ear cancer.
Well, it comes up all the time. You know,
yeah, it does.
Well, but has there been any like conclusive studies that it's been spiked?
Yeah, but this is a new type. This is a new type of signal. I'm not describing this well, but a new type of frequency. So other frequencies are lower and more long range and aren't known to actually be hurtful to humans. Whereas these higher frequencies, it is known that they can cause damage to humans. I mean, I just told you about that weapon system. If you have it in high enough concentrations, you know, it can burn your skin. Well, what happens if it's in low concentrations? Now, you might say, yeah, it's in low concentration, so we don't care. But let me put it this way. If I peed in your dinner just a little bit, just a tiny bit, would you still eat it?
Okay, good analogy.
Exactly.
Yeah, good analogy.
Your size says it all, Lewis. Okay. All right, let's move on because I really didn't expect us to talk about that for 30 minutes.
How could anyone have predicted that?
Yeah, well, I thought maybe I wouldn't be alone on that, but apparently I'm the only one concerned about...
Going to get deplatformed, Mr. Conspiracy.
I might get deplatformed for revealing the truth about the iPhone. Wouldn't that be funny? Tim Cook's like, we got to get him off the internet, y'all. He's gonna out our new phones. Okay, let's talk about iOS 13 using the iPhone to perfectly sync wireless audio to Apple TV. An esoteric problem, Lewis, but an important one.
Yeah, you know, it's true. Nothing ruins a good movie when you're watching it and, you know, the mouth is moving and the voices and the dialogue is out of sync. But apparently that happens. I have a hardwired speaker for my TV, but if you use wireless speakers, this could be a problem. Thanks to iOS 13 and tvOS 13, the next versions, they're going to work hand in hand and they're going to make it so you no longer have to suffer this horrible, horrible disaster, while you're watching video on your Apple TV. When they roll out this fall, new operating systems, you're going to be able to use your iPad or your iPhone to fix badly synchronized audio. And it works by using your iOS device to listen to tones played through your speakers. The feature calculates the time it takes for the audio to be heard after your Apple TV plays it, then adjust your settings accordingly. I'm very curious about this. I'm a little bit skeptical because some of these... like when I have experienced that, even in the article that we wrote, it's a little bit inconsistent, right? It worked fine for a while and then it stopped. This happens like only when I use like a Bluetooth speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, because it's never like completely the same, the lag, it seems like it might be hard to, I mean, unless it's constantly adjusting it, maybe that's what it is. I mean, certainly Apple's smarter than me on this, but,
maybe you leave your phone on and it just sits there constantly adjusting. Yeah,
it makes
possibly.
You say ding, sing out a little ding. that, you know, yeah, only your dog can hear. Your dog's going to be driven mad by this. But anyway, it sounds like, if nothing else, a good idea and a good way to get rid of something that annoys people who use, like I don't know, if you use a HomePod or something, maybe you have this problem. If you use a HomePod connected to your TV.
I kind of wonder, actually, are they going to be adding, is this evidence that shows that Apple is going to be adding Apple TV support to the HomePod so you could easily stream movies and stuff to the HomePods? That would be super mega max cool to have your HomePods be able to use for music and for movies and TV and stuff.
You already can, can't you?
You already can.
Well,
yeah,
it's not easy though. It's, you have to go in and connect to your Apple TV to your HomePods. It's just not a simple process.
you have to pair it quickly. I mean, I've never done it because I got my own, I got a sound system or whatever, but I why would that be hard?
Well, it's the same reason that it's hard if you want to use your AirPods for your Apple TV.
I do it every day.
I know, but you have to go in there and constantly connect them. You have to go into the settings, connect them, and then when you stop using it, it disconnects.
I got
to
say,
it's a huge hassle.
That is one thing that every day, when I go to work out, I say this is something Apple should fix. And maybe can somebody tell me why this is so? So you pick up the Apple TV remote and you say, "Hey Siri, connect AirPods," right? And it pulls up the settings screen, which is awesome. But it just pulls it up to like the top of it. I don't understand why it doesn't just do it. Or at the very least, take me to the very setting screen, the Bluetooth setting screen, where I could just, with one tap or, you know, scroll and select which AirPods I want and connect it. I to this day, I don't understand why that doesn't work. Maybe there's some protection built into the TVOS or something, but...
That's my point. It should work exactly how it does on the iPad or the iPhone, where you tap that little radar button and it brings up your available sources, yeah, and then you can just send your audio directly to that source.
Yeah, although I mean, if you only use the AirPods with the TV, it seems like it at least half the time just picks it up when you pull them out of the case and start the TV. But yeah, if you use them with something else, it's always looking for the last device used, right? So
yeah, and if multiple people are using your television, then right, it creates even more of a hassle, right?
So maybe that's why they need to make it. Maybe that's why it doesn't seamless. Just automatically connect. But do you use Siri to do that?
No, I've actually never tried to use Siri. I never even thought to.
It makes
use
it a little
Siri
bit easier.
That. Yeah, that's a hot tip. Whoa, right there. I'm gonna
very
I'm,
hot
I'm
tip.
Gonna, look at that. I'm gonna give that a try. Although honestly, I don't really have a lot of instances to use my AirPods with my Apple TV. It's nice sometimes, but most of the time I just use my TV speakers. Yeah. But I'm gonna give that a shot and see how it goes. Okay. Before we continue on with this other game-changing Apple TV feature, and I do mean game-changing, let me give a quick thanks to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Do you still not have a website? It's 2019. You have a business. Maybe you're trying to promote your skill sets. You're a photographer. You are a videographer. You need to be promoting yourself online. You're still not doing that. No wonder no one's hiring you. Well, let me tell you, it's so super simple to get set up with a Squarespace website. I have two. I manage them entirely by myself, but I also brought in the very powerful, the very magnetic Chris Chia, listener Chris Chia, shout out Chris, who helps me with the show notes over on the Cultcast website, because with a Squarespace website, you can update everything yourself super easily, manage it all yourself, but you can also bring in contributors. So if you're working together on something and you want to bring in someone to write copy or move stuff around, you can do that. It's very easy. You can add your social media. Their image galleries are one of the easiest image galleries I've ever interacted with. They're so easy to build and update, and they're beautiful. And you can be up and running with a website in no time at all. If you want to just choose one of their templates, poof, you'll be up on the web. Or you can dive in and do what I did and just use their drag and drop system that's easy to use. And build out your website, make it look exactly how you want. You can change fonts and colors and everything. And yet it's so approachable and easy to do. And then your website will look uniquely yours, and it will be easy to update and maintain, which is the most important part, right? Because you don't want to have to wait on somebody else to keep your website updated. And if it's difficult to do, you're not going to do it. So Squarespace makes it easy. You can get started with your own website at squarespace.com/cultcast. Sign up for the 2-week trial, build a website, see how you like it. And if you like what you have at the end of your trial period, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll get 10% off your first order. And if you order a year of service, you get an additional discount and a free domain name at squarespace.com. And the code to use at checkout is CULTCAST, squarespace.com/CULTCAST. Okay, here's another game-changing feature. TVOS. Apple TV is finally gaining picture-in-picture support. So I don't know if you've ever tried this on your iPad. I use this all the time. In fact, I was wondering why my iPad battery was dying so fast. I thought maybe there was something wrong with my iPad. And then I realized, no, it's because I used to just watch a video, well, Dr. Disrespect, at night or read Reddit before going to bed. And now I do both because I have him in picture-in-picture mode. And then I'm also reading the internet at the same time. I've become Marty McFly's son in Back to the Future 3 when he's on that giant screen and he's watching like 13 things at one time. That's literally what I do before I go to bed. So you can, on your Apple TV, you can be watching a video and then you can minimize it to one of the corners of the screen. And then you can continue doing whatever you're doing on your iPad, browsing stuff on your Plex server or Netflix. This is handy because how many times have you been getting ready to eat your dinner, right? You're trying to watch something. And instead of picking something and then eating your dinner while you watch something, you sit there eating your dinner, but you're also scrolling through Netflix for the entire duration of the dinner to trying to figure out what you should watch. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is what happens every single time. So now, instead of just being indecisive for your entire dinner, you just pick something, minimize it to one of the corners, and then you can still mindlessly browse Netflix or whatever you want while you have something going so you don't feel like such a huge chode by the end of your dinner because you've just sat there.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah. I can never decide what I want to watch. So I just end up browsing for hours.
I think that's probably the most popular content on Netflix is the browse page. Just yeah. You going and just browsing the thumbnails of all the different stuff.
Well, how do you turn off the automatic trailers? That drives me crazy.
Oh, you got me. I'm actually one of the only people on Earth that doesn't have a Netflix account anymore. I just use Plex now and also Amazon. Amazon's video library is good enough where, because I have Prime, I just use that. So I never watched enough Netflix to actually justify it. And finally, I just got rid of it on a whim to see if I would miss it. And I didn't notice for months that it was gone.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I have no idea.
Okay, that's all right.
Well, if
anyone knows how to do that, hit me up.
I don't think there's a way to do that though. That's one of those features they built in to get you, yeah, to grab yeah. you.
I wish there was an option where you could play it if you wanted to see it, but you know.
Ah. Yeah. Well, if anyone listening to the show knows how to do that, please ping Leander. Send a message to his widow. We'll leave an address in the show notes. All right, let's see here. Let's go ahead and wrap up with this weird story.
Oh, this is great.
Do you want to take this one away?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not gonna believe this. Phone overuse is making millennials grow spikes on their skulls. What a great headline. Mm-hmm.
I think you guys should have gone with horns.
Yeah, horns. Yeah, teens.
Because the doctor did technically
teens,
call it a horn. good one.
So doctors have noted a change in the shape of many millennial skulls. Now, I don't know how many is, but some. Spikes are growing just above the neck, and researchers think the phenomenon is caused by too much cell phone use. And this isn't caused by, 5G...
Just wait till 5G takes it, then you'll have a tail
so
too.
Weird
you'll have a tail, three eyeballs, and a horn.
So this is legit. This is actually the human body adapting to the bent over posture that phone users typically adopt. Tech neck has real consequences. It's like evolution in fast motion. Scientists are examining this, and they say it's the growing prevalence of this thing called, I don't know how to pronounce it, enthesophytes? Anyway, they're basically growths where tendons or ligaments attach to the skull. And apparently they, you know, this kind of thing typically becomes more common with age, but not the specific thing at the base of your skull. And they're calling this enlarged external occipital protuberance, or EEOP for short. They say these are more likely to show up in 18 to 30 year olds than in people decades older. And they've been looking at x-rays, and these researchers say 41% of patients aged 18 to 30 had these little skull horns at the base. Well, if you look at the story on the site, there's an x-ray. You can see it. It's kind of creepy. And
can you feel it?
You know what? I don't know.
Probably. Look at the x-ray. It looks huge.
I'm pretty sure I've got at least two of those on the back of my head. My neck is killing me all the time. I have no problem believing that this is true, you know, and bad posture, all these things add up over time. You know, you've been looking at your phone now for 10 years, right? I don't know. Bad news.
Yeah. So, I mean, just think, you're at a desk all day, you're hunched over your phone all day. It's got to have repercussions on your spine and your neck and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Look where it is. I mean, that's something you could definitely feel if it was there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Although I'm not really sure from the x-ray where exactly you're supposed to feel it.
Below my neck fat, I can't really feel anything.
Look at that roll of fat in that.
Is that what that is?
Huh?
What?
Is that a roll of fat there?
It looks what it looks like, isn't it? But I don't know.
Ugh. Maybe that's why they've only discovered these on 18 to 30-year-olds is because they still have skinny necks, whereas in the older people, they just literally can't see the horn growing there.
It is a freaky looking thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks totally bizarre. I will tell you, though, that you missed a golden opportunity for a headline to write, "Proof iPhone makes millennials more horny." Boom. Top story of the week. Yeah. You would have gotten tens of thousands of clicks on that.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, we have a story today about using AirPods while having sex.
I saw that. I haven't read it yet. Did you write that, Leander?
No, I didn't write that one, no.
Yeah, that was another hot one.
That seems like an awkward thing to do.
What did they say? Like something like,
yeah. Are you wearing headphones?
Some crazy percentage. Was it like 17% or 21 or even maybe 41? I can't remember what it was. They did this whole study.
People wear them? Well,
yeah, 17% said they wore. This is a 1,010 people surveyed. 17% said they wore AirPods during sex.
During sex. That is hard to believe, if only because you're wearing AirPods, and it's hard for me to believe that someone would have sex with you if you're wearing those AirPods, because they're the least attractive thing you could possibly be wearing. You know what I'm saying, Lewis?
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing is this guy on Twitter replied to this survey. He says, "As if we need more places to lose our earbuds."
All right, well, we're not going to top that joke. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Leander, are you still there? He made it. Thank God. I really was actually worried about you.
Excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, you need to sip some chicken broth and go to bed. Okay, well, that's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come talk to us about any of the stories that we mentioned on today's show, or just check in on Leander and make sure he's still with us. I'm at Airfon. Leander is at L. Kenny. Lewis is at Lewis Walls. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys, well, me and Lewis, next time.
Good one. I'm gonna live just to spite you.
We'll get some very beautiful tweets. We'll print them out, and we'll paste them on your cast.
Touching, very touching.
Hello?
What?
I can't believe Leander's here.
Oh, my God, neither can I.
You sound truly terrible. Oh, my.
Oh, my God. Is this just for effect?
No. Maybe this is not a good idea. this won't fucking go.
Leander OS is clearly in beta.
Beta. It's more like it's being deprecated, right? It's like EOL, end of life.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did actually get a fucking appointment with the doctor finally tomorrow. But I always feel, you know, I don't know. It's kind of pathetic to go in for a cold, I think, right?
That's what I told Lewis.
Dude, you've been sick for over a week. You're coughing your lungs up. Just go and get some codeine, man. At least you'll stop coughing for a day.
Yeah, well, that was what I was really tempted by, to get that industrial strength lean. Can I mix it with some grape juice and get a high all weekend?
Yeah, go full Snoop Dogg.
Is that what it's? What do you mix it with?
I don't remember. I'm an expert in you know, hip hop boozing.
You're not. That's truly surprising.
My kids will know.
My kids know what fruity drink to mix these drugs with.
Well, because they listen to all the recordings, right? So
yeah,
wasn't that what? What's his name? Little, what's his face? He had to land his private jet like 3 times because he OD'd on this shit.
Purple drank. You know what I'm talking about? That's what you're looking for. Purple drank.
Yeah, you got to get yourself some purple drank and put the codeine in there, and then you can just stare at the wall and drool for a few days until you feel better.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been doing anyway. It's been really fucking miserable. Like, I was so deathly sick last week. Like, at least the fever's broken. But last week when I had a fever, you know, I was just like, I was out for 4 days.
Oh my goodness.
Just really fucking deathly ill. Yeah. Could not move from the couch or the bed, you know, and just, no one was around either. So Tracy was out of town.
Uh huh. Oh, kids. Just you?
Yeah, just me. Like, and the bed was, this is gross, but it was just soaked in sweat and fever sweat. It was really appalling. Every morning I had to get hanging the duvet up to dry out.
I'm going to catch it.
I know, yeah, you're probably going to catch it.
It sounds that bad.
Should I continue or what?
Well, if you want to, you can, but I kind of feel like you should go back to bed.
Well, I'm here in the office, you know, I'm working.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, if you died while we were recording, that would just think of the ratings. I would feel terrible, but you know, we'd give you a great eulogy at the end of the show for the bonus track.
Yeah, the second hour, right?
God.
Excuse me.
You're gonna break one of your ribs. I should.
Yeah, stop it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, do you feel like you want to continue?
Well, I can try it for a bit.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to stay, by all means. I just don't want you to feel like you have to. And if you feel like you can't talk and you're just going to be sitting there hacking, you know, then...
Okay, well, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Okay, if you have to go, then just be like, yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
You can go at any time. Particularly if you feel your astral spirit leaving your meat container.
You mean, when I see myself, I'm up in the corner of the room. And
have you ever seen Dr. Strange?
Who?
Have you ever seen the Dr. Strange movie with Benedict Cumberbatch?
I haven't seen the whole thing. Is there an out-of-body thing than that?
Yeah, there's a lot of sequences where he leaves his own body.
Okay. Well, I'll watch out for that. If it starts happening, I'll let you know.
Yeah, if you can look down and see us podcasting.
I used to get that as a kid, though. Didn't you used to get... I used to get these... Well, this is where this ASMR stuff comes from. This is when I was a kid. I used to be sitting in a chair, and I used to have almost like this weird sensation, like I was floating on the ceiling, and I could look down on myself. And I could almost switch in and out.
Really?
Yeah.
And then did you wake up and realize that you were dreaming or something?
I'd be conscious the whole time. I'd know exactly what was kind of going on.
Oh, weird.
It was a very weird sensation. It was very pleasant, you know, very relaxing.
You have the gift of the mystic arts.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm a Doctor Strange after all.
You could be Doctor Strange. I mean, you are quite strange. You just have to get your PhD.
Not a doctor, though.
I had a dream one time that I was walking through the hall when I was a kid, and then I walked into the bathroom, and my mom was showering in the bathroom. And then I woke up, and I was in the bathroom, and she was showering. How weird is that?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Maybe not that entertaining or weird, I guess.
No,
I had a dream. I was asleep that I had walked through the hall of my parents' house and gone to the bathroom, and my mom was in the bathroom showering. And when I woke up, I was in the bathroom, and she was showering. It's very
so
prescient.
You was like sleepwalking?
I mean, maybe. It was so long ago, I barely remember. I just remember it being really odd because my eyes were closed the whole time, but I knew what was going on. And then when I woke up, yeah, what I had dreamed had it seemed like it had actually happened.
Have you had that experience?
No, I don't think so.
And does your mom like? Was your mom the kind of mom that would walk around naked all the time?
Heck no.
Well, how
come?
Thank
God for that.
How come she was, you know, you were in the bathroom while she was showering?
Well, I mean, I walked in.
Oh.
Yeah, the only mom that I know that walked around a lot naked is Alexi Heath's mom. In fact, she's in my room right now waiting for me.
Hilarious.